And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. Now notice that. That's very important. The man sick of palsy, that reveals his condition and his inability. And the Bible said that he was born or carried by afore. Verse number 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him, that is, could not come nigh unto Christ for the press, that is, the crowd. And well, the crowd has always been at times a conflict to God and the work of God. You're going to have to get above the hindrance of the crowd and the difficulty and the restrictions of the crowd, the press. That same word press is used in Luke 19:3 when it talked about Zacchaeus, that he could not see Christ for the press. He came in and the press, the crowd. And a lot of people today are not saved because of the press, because of the crowd. And even saved people are hindered a lot because of the crowd. And of course the crowd represents people. But let's look here. It said, when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when he had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Never saw it on this fashion. Notice verse number 3. The man sick of the palsy was born afore. And you've heard me preach on this passage of scripture on the message, carrying your corner. That's what these four men were doing, and it was very productive. Here was a man that was possessed with inability to even help himself. But yet these four men took time and cooperatively joined together of getting this man to Jesus. And as I was thinking on this and wasn't planning to preach on it necessarily tonight, but as I was thinking on this, this is a great picture. This is a great picture of what corporate effort can do. People working together. Now you'd have to agree with me that not one man could have got this palsied man to Christ. I would say that not even two men could got this man to Christ. And probably with intense effort, maybe three people could have, possibly. But four men was involved. Four men involved, and there's no indication that these four men were related. There's no indication that these four men knew each other or none of that. All we know is that the man sick of palsy was in position, and as a result, four men Whether they were coming from different directions, we don't know. All we know is that four men saw the need. And what these men did, though it is not stated that about prayer, what these four men did really illustrates what prayer does. Corporate praying. Corporate praying. People, more than one, more than a two or three, several, targeting the same need. No telling what would happen if we would, and we have been, or at least our church is being stirred up about prayer. And you'd have to agree with me that that's probably been largely what's been going on. Our church is being stirred up about prayer. Someone was talking to a man in her church and got about a 30-minute or so drive home from work every day. And someone said to him, well, that's a long trip. That's something along the lines, a long trip and takes time. And it's probably, you probably get tired of that trip and all that kind of that talk. And the man said of our church, said, well, it used to be like that, but now, said, I pray all the way home about our church. I pray from pew to pew. Amen. I go through our church praying as I'm traveling, as I'm going from workplace to home or from home to work. He said, I pray for the family of God, the church family. And he's not the only one doing that. He's not the only one doing that. There are several people that are starting to do that and to pray for the church family. Boy, I tell you, business is going to pick up when people get stirred up about praying. There's no doubt about that. Amen. Amen, that's right. I was talking to another individual of the church, and they're praying for the family, our church family, and said time they go through their directory and the missionaries and other requests that's involved, that about an hour it takes to go through that. Boy, the devil don't like that, and I promise you the flesh don't like it. That's why I believe that general prayer is not really thought by the flesh, is because the flesh don't mind praying a little. And that's usually what general prayer is little prayer. Just kind of going through a little form. Amen. From what y'all getting a preaching gear here, already feel like I am. Amen. Help us, Lord. But we get in that generalized prayer mode, and we usually, a person prays a general prayer because they're too busy and they're in a hurry. We pray a general prayer because I'm wanting to hurry up and get through this so I can get to something else. You know that's true. Amen. And I've wrote down, I've accumulated several things since we've been dealing with prayer. I've been writing down various things about general prayer. And you know what? Not one of them's positive. I don't have one spiritual, one scriptural good thing to say about general praying. And that's what we mostly do. Amen. God help us, amen. But I was thinking, and we were going to do this if the Lord would help me to see how to do it. The Lord would want us tonight in our prayer time to pull our target in and our sights in. And as a corporate effort tonight, we're gonna lay it on some people in prayer. I already know and feel in my heart that God wants several tonight to, we're going to just kind of get in that vicinity there where Bobby Johnson, his family sits, and he's not going to know it maybe till after the effect, afterwards. But we're going to get there, and we're going to do like this. We're going to have the mentality that these four men had when they got there, and they saw the need was desperate, and they saw the need was drastic, and they knew it was going to take some time, and they knew it was going to take some effort. Amen. We don't know how far from where he was to where Christ was.
We don't know the distance, but it didn't matter. They both, all four of them agreed that, hey, if we can get this man to Jesus, oh, Lord, help us. If we can get this man to Jesus, no matter how big and or how bad of a need that he has, if we can just, if we corporately can pull our resources and our faith and our effort and all of us pitch in and target this man and get this man to Jesus, and that's what prayer does. That is people by prayer laying hold of a need, and if we can get them to Jesus, Brother Jack, it'll make a difference. Amen. And so we're going to gather in here. There's going to be several gather in here that's going to pray over Miss Sherry. I mean, you need it too, don't you, sis? That's why she's sitting on that pew. She's wanting to be a recipient of that prayer. Amen. But we're going to pray for Bobby and Hunter and Dalton and Dylan. We're going to pray for them tonight. I know we have been praying. I could probably ask tonight for a raise of hand. How many has been praying? And probably everybody in here could raise their hand. Amen. And I've been praying for them. And I'm sure you've been praying for them. But we're going to do something a little different as far as the services tonight is concerned. We're going to do like these four men in our text. We're going to gather in here. And like I said, now he's not going to know about it until afterwards. Amen. And we're going to target him. And there's some others in here that we're going to target. And we'll just kind of split up around, you know. And there'll be some get right in this section. And there'll be some, I know that God wants us to target Bob Moffitt tonight. That's he's on my heart, Brother Carroll. To pray for him. I mean, that's a disaster happening right there, home that's hanging by a very thin thread, and we're going to corporately tonight, we're going after him. We're going to put God on his case in prayer. We're going to try by faith in prayer to take them to the throne of grace. Listen, you're going to have confidence now. These four men, they weren't standing around thinking, well, I don't know if it'd work or... No, they was taught all that I've preached so far about prayer, and it's none of it been planned like a series or anything. But any of this, everything I preached about prayer, you can see it right here in this scripture. We talked about having confidence in prayer. Remember that? Right. Praying about with confidence. Boy, did they not have confidence? Do you see them doubting? Do you see them wondering? No. Oh, hey, if we can get this man to Jesus. We talked about confidence in prayer. We talked about specifics in prayer. They weren't sitting around studying about several general things. They were talking about a specific man going in a specific direction, getting to see somebody specific, and something specific is going to happen. Amen. That's right. And urgent, last Wednesday we talked about praying with urgency. They saw this need as something that needed to be dealt with right now. This man sick of palsy may have been sick for a long time, but hey, they may have thought, well, hey, you know what? This man could die anytime. And so they moved with urgency about that matter. And I mean, you can look at about anything that makes prayer effective, and you can see it right here in the scripture. Amen? And so do we pray with expectancy tonight? Do we pray with urgency? And are we corporately going to get a hold of God on behalf of some people in our church? And we ought to feel confident if we will join in as a church family and start praying for some of these people. And I mean, listen, the list is great. It's not just one or two, Bobby and his family and Bob Moffitt, you know. Hey, there's some real serious needs. I mean, there's some people... I mean, Carol Hensley's husband, Robert. Right. White man's as lost as a goose. Right. Right. Amen. And you know, she don't come much. I'll just leave it at that. She don't come much. But I'm sure she don't have much help at home. Right. You know? And listen, if we're not careful, we'll not even pray for him. But that's one good thing about praying your church directory and praying through the church family is that you shouldn't be able to anyway to pray for Carol Hensley, but what you don't pray for Robert. Amen. Amen. We need to get God on his case. We need to put God on his trail tonight in prayer. It'll work if we'll do it corporately. If we'll do it corporately. Amen. I mean, there's Jared and Jody and Melanie that needs prayer in the worst kind of way. Robin Ward and her family situation is in desperate need of prayer tonight. I mean, listen, we know enough right here. I'm talking about serious problems, serious needs. You know, Donna Carpenter's about, you know, to fizzle out and hadn't been to church in a while. You know, and with that, see, it's not just her. Then there's Sarah. Then there's Anthony. And there's little Aaron. All that's going to reap the repercussions of a daddy and mama that's not together, not in church. Amen. I mean, the needs are great tonight. Just as this need was great. Amen. I wrote this down actually last night at the rest home service. I wrote this down last night at the rest home service. In the last 30 days, and what got me to thinking about this, one of the things that got me thinking about this was Miss June last Wednesday when we was talking about praying with urgency, and I made mention of something along the lines that while I was preaching, you know, that God answers prayer. And if we're praying and we're not getting an answer, there's something wrong with our praying. There's something wrong on our end. We either got the wrong motive, we're asking something amiss, something's wrong. We're not praying with faith, we're not praying in expectancy, we're not praying with a real heart. Something's wrong with our praying. And she mentioned this after the service, and it caught my attention. And evidently it caught her attention. She said, "Preacher, on these prayer lists every Wednesday night, same names. Same names that we've been praying for a long time. Does it bother us? Does it bother us that there's still names on our list? Do we ask ourselves, Lord, why is it that they're still on our list?" I thought about that. George Mueller had 30,000 prayers that were answered within an hour that he prayed or in the same day that he prayed them. 30,000, Brother Tim. Brother Rob, I'd like to ask our church and myself a question. In the last 30 days, how many prayers can you count that was answered? Well, let's just go big. In the past 3 months, in the past 90 days, how many prayers could you say, "Preacher, this was answered, and this was answered, and this was answered"? And the reason I propose that question to you is that I'm afraid we're getting content with just praying. We're getting content with just praying, and we're not praying with expectation. We're not praying with expectation. These men were active. They were expectant. They knew exactly. I mean, they were expecting fruit to come from their efforts. Are we? Amen. God help us. But God wants us to pray corporately. God wants us to target with expectation the same need and pray urgently and positively and expectantly about these needs being carried out and being brought to pass. Amen? So praying corporately. And Miss June also, I don't mean to keep referencing her, but in Acts chapter 12,
She brought this passage to my attention after one of the messages that we'd preached on prayer. And it said in Acts 12 and verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Corporate prayer. The church got together, targeted the same request, same need. And I believe there's power in that. There's power in that. The four men bore the man sick of palsy, and he was carried, and the Lord turned, and the Bible said there in verse number 5, and when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Lord done a great work in that man's life. And you know what? Listen to this. We don't even know what their names were. Well, preacher, you can count me out. If my name is not going to be in the bulletin, you can count me out. It's not about us. It's not about us. Amen. Our verse, how many times have we quoted it? And we'll continue to do so. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. It's not unto us. It's not me. It's not recognition that we need. Jesus gave honor to them when he saw their faith. Amen. What God did for that young, for that man sick of palsy, largely come through their faith. Amen. We might be waiting on the Lord to give Bobby faith. And I don't usually like to use names while I'm preaching, but we're just in our church family thing tonight. You know, what would be wrong with me saying, what about our faith? What is God doing for that family that's coming out of our faith? Amen. Do we have faith that will put God on somebody else? Do we have faith that God can work through to get to somebody else and work in their life? When he saw their faith, amen? And then he began to work in that young man's life and he changed him, and praise was given to the Lord. But I believe the Lord wants us to target tonight some individuals tonight. And I know we could pray, and you know, if you've been in our prayer times, we get just all kinds of names. You know, and I'm not trying to exclude any, but I want us to focus in on four or five tonight, or three, or whatever the Lord would impress us. I know at least two already, and where we can just kind of split up, you know. In our church family tonight, we just kind of split up, and there'll be some gather in this section and pray for that Johnson family, and some will gather back there. And we could gather right up here. There wouldn't be nothing wrong with getting up here. But I think there'd be something about getting on their pew or getting in that vicinity where they sit. I think that would make it more real to your spirit and to your faith. Amen. I believe you could do that. I've never done that before, but it's on my heart to do it. Amen? Because we need to get urgent about this thing. They're coming and they're leaving, 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 and they're lost. Amen? And they need God to get on their case in a big-time way. Amen? That's right. And, of course, some don't even come. Bob, he hadn't been in a long time, you know, and we need to get God on their case. Amen? Praise God, church. I'm telling you, we can see our church go to another level just off of corporate praying. Amen. Getting together. What about the church in the upper room in Acts 2? They were in one mind, they were in one accord, and they had a 10-day prayer meeting. And that fact they were in one mind, one accord, says more than that they were just in unity and that they were in harmony and they didn't have division. But I believe that they were praying for the same thing. They knew before they left when Jesus told them in Luke 24, go to Jerusalem and tarry there till you be endued with power from on high. They knew where to go. Amen? They knew what to go there and pray about. And they went and prayed.
And it, look what happened. Everybody wants Acts 2 to happen. 3,000 people getting saved? Well, you get 120 people corporately praying about the same thing with unity and faith and harmony and expectation and persistence. Buddy, there's something going to happen. Amen. The Spirit of God is going to move in mighty power. There's going to be somebody filled with the Spirit, and there's going to be souls that are saved. Amen. That's exactly right. Souls are not saved through programs. We don't need programs. We need power. Sinners come in here and get exposed to the convicting power of God. They're going to move. They're going to have to do something. They'll have to get in, get out, or get run over, something. They're going to have to move. The last thing we ever want is for sinners to come in here and be comfortable. We never want that. Ever want that. Never, never. I believe the Lord wants us to do that tonight, is to pray corporately and join in just like these four men did. Lord just spoke to my heart just now. Maybe there's something that you've saw in this illustration of this passage that relates to corporate effort. Corporate prayer, corporate effort of getting somebody saved or praying about the same object. Maybe the Lord showed you something. If you want to share that right now, anybody? I probably should have told you that earlier. That way you'd been paying more attention. Do you see anything?
When they uncovered the roof, they were basically saying whatever it took.
Amen. And all four of them were still attached and involved to that need, even when they come up against that obstacle. You know, even when they come up against that hindrance. One of them didn't bail out and say, well, I thought, you know, it was just going to, let's get him to Jesus, carry him up here, everything's going to be easy. It's going to be quick, it's going to be easy. But when they got there, found out there was going to be some difficulty involved. Hey, how much time and how much effort do you think was involved in that? Getting a grown man, carrying a grown man on a flimsy bed, which that's what there was, just a roll-up mat type thing, carrying them up onto a roof, tearing the roof off enough to let him down. They had to get ropes. They had to get all the means necessary for letting that man down. Hey, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be quick for us to be able to have what God wants us to have here at the church. There may be times that we have to say, hey, you know what? We're going to have to step it up a notch on this. You know, it's not going to be easy. Just walk through the door and lay them down. There you are, Jesus, get them. You know, we might have to tighten it up and get more serious. Maybe something else somebody saw. That's good, Brother Silas. Yeah, yeah. Amen. That's right.
They don't even say there that the Lord seen them. I mean, they could still get on it. I don't know the circumstances. They let them down through the rope. All he seen was the man to follow.
Yep. Yeah.
The boy that carried him wasn't even seen.
Yep, that's right. I've never seen that before.
I mean, you know, no matter who prays,
say it. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. When he saw their faith. We need some people in here that'll not just pray, Lord, get a hold of this family and Lord, save them and work. You know, we need some people that'll join together with their faith and amen, and believe, like Brother Rob said, and with confidence, the outcome is going to be, Lord, they're going to get saved. I'm not praying, Lord, if it's your will. We have scripture to pray against that. We have scripture that we know it's not the Lord's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have the scriptural authority to pray for him to get saved, his daughter get saved, the two sons get saved, and these other kids that get saved in our church that's been requesting prayer for themselves. And some that's still even real little. Something else you maybe have saw in this passage.
They were in unity, you know, and cared for him. They had to care about him, first of all, in unity. you have three and not one's not with them, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to care.
Yeah.
You know, have that, I guess, in the sense that burden.
Right. Right. Had a care. Had a concern. Amen. Selfless. They had to deny themselves. I'd say carrying that man the way that they, those four had to carry him, I'd say it got a little tiresome. I'd say there was a little burdensome there. Probably wore out. Fatigue. You know, probably their flesh probably said, you know what? Why don't you just let this thing down? Let your corner down. Let somebody else do it. No, they didn't. They determined, I'm not stopping until we get this man to Jesus. Amen. Anybody else real quick?
When Jesus healed him, it was far greater than they expected, because it says they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this face.
What about that? In other words, God went beyond. Jesus went beyond even what they expected. They expected, really. I mean, you can see that in the scripture. They expected that young man, that man sick of palsy, to be healed by Christ as a result of their efforts of getting that young man to Christ. Amen. But he went beyond the, exceeded the expectation. Amen. We're just praying for a family to get saved. You don't know what God might do. Amen. There's no telling what potential is right there and what God can do in them youngins. Amen. Amen. Good, brother. Anybody else?
They had to know how to get to Jesus before they could bring the sick man to him.
Amen. Had to know themselves where Christ was and that they could get there. Amen. I believe that would bring about the thought of if we're going to be effective in corporate prayer and joining together and targeting specific needs, that we're going to have a Christ consciousness. We're going to have to know where Christ is and what he's doing and what he's up to. There's going to have to be an awareness. They knew exactly what house Christ was in. They knew exactly where Christ was at.
Right.
Amen. And for all we know, they were headed there themselves. They may have been heading that way themselves. Hey, praise God. Christ's up there. It's been noised abroad that he's in the house. We've heard he's up there. We're headed that way. And they saw the need and they said, hey, fellas, hey, this fellow, if we can get him up there, he can get some help. Amen. Someone else real quick.
Preacher, I'm teaching on the ladies' lesson the last couple of months. It's been on Can Jesus? Jesus can.
Right.
And I was reading on something, and it was actually referring to this example. I'll try to make it real quick. But it was talking about, you wonder if this man believed that God could, that Jesus could really help him. And they said, well, maybe one of the men carrying the stretcher, this was kind of, you know, using your imagination a little bit, but it was a real blessing. Well, maybe one of the men that was carrying the stretcher told the man, he said, I know Jesus can help you because he helped me. I had a withered hand.
Yeah.
And he helped me. And, you know, and so they went on little ways. And then maybe the man laying on the cot said, but that was just a withered hand. Can he really help me? And then another man on the other corner might have said, well, you know, I was blind, and I can see because of this man. And so it increased his faith a little bit. And he said, well, okay, well, they went out, might have gone a little bit. And then the next one, you know, he said, I just don't know about this. Just put me down, you know. Maybe Jesus can't help me. And the other guy said, well, you know, I was crippled, and he healed me. And so they went on a little bit farther, maybe, and the last one said, you know, and he's about to give up. He said, let's just forget about this. God might have done all that for y'all, but I just don't know if he'd do it for me. And the fourth man, they said, what if he said, listen, I was dead, and it talked like it was Lazarus that might have brought him back. That was a blessing to me, and that went along with what Matt said. Maybe God had done something in all of their lives already. I mean, that the scripture don't say that example, but, you know.
Well, you know they had a testimony.
Yeah, they had seen the Lord do something in life.
No doubt.
But that was a blessing to me to just imagine that, of course, but it was, that was just a blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Before
these guys already.
Yeah. Yeah, it's evident, I believe, that when he saw their faith, it's evident that they had already knew the Lord and already was saved, you know. And if you're saved, you've got a testimony. I mean, you can't be saved without the Lord doing something for you and doing something in you. And what people needs to hear, and we try to incorporate that. Like Sunday morning, we incorporated there some, like when Brother Craig led the choir on what was that song about, What a Difference, or something about a he made a difference. It's different now. You know, I felt Lord impressed me to have some testimonies to verify that, you know, just so these people can hear, you know, hey, God did that for them. God did that for her, you know, and we need that. And I tell you what else we need. Listen, if we do that again, and we will, you know, because I think that's crucial. Your testimony is powerful. Your testimony is powerful, especially if it's backed up by a life that confirms it. But what some of these people need to hear, you know, is some testimonies in here that they've not heard yet. You know, I mean, we've got some that testifies, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we've got some that don't testify, and they say, well, they testify all the time, you know. Well, hey, jump in. You know, you may not testify much, but hey, there may be a lost person here who needs to hear your testimony. You say, well, I don't have a big one or a big, you know, hey. If you can stand up and with heart and reality and realness and be able to say, hey, you know what? I got saved such and such a time. I was lost and the Lord dealt with me. I was here. I was at home. I was at church. I was driving down the road and the Lord dealt with my heart and the Lord saved me. And here's the changes that's been made in my life. This is what the Lord has done in my life. God's going to use that to speak to their heart and say, hey, I can do that for you.
Amen.
Amen. Young people, God wants to use your testimony. Amen. I mean, it don't say that they, you know good and well they didn't carry that man up that path silent. You know they were probably talking to each other. They were probably talking to him. One of them probably said to that man, just wait. Amen. Just wait. Look, hey, God's did this for me, and that, as Miss Debbie said, God did that for me, and this one, and that one. Amen. And I can see that young man, I can see the man on that bed, you know, that laid there hopeless, and doctors couldn't help him, and nobody else could help him. He couldn't even help himself, and he's laying there, and he's listening to that testimony, and he's listening to that testimony, and that testimony, and that testimony, and then they're getting to go back and forth, and they're getting happy, amen, and they're praising God. You said, the Bible don't say that they did. Doesn't say they didn't either. And that young man laying there on the sick of palsy, probably got thinking, hey man, that's right. Woo! My life's fixing to be changed. I'm living my last day as a palsied man. Amen. Amen. There's some people got a hold of my case. And they're going to bring me and God together. And something big's fixing to happen. Hallelujah. We need to hear your testimony. Amen. Every service ought to have at least one or two testimonies. Nothing wrong with that. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will make a difference.
Yeah.
Even what I said Sunday, probably it won't have nothing to her. Maybe a little bit. But now, getting her age bracket, it'll make a whole lot more.
Exactly. Exactly, young people.
Even the Lord himself said you must come with childlike faith.
Right. Yeah.
You know, ain't no doubt about it.
That's exactly right.
Their prayer is just as effective as anybody's ailment.
Exactly. Amen. But the thing of it is, though, whether it's a young person or an adult, you know, your testimony needs to be backed up with heart. Your testimony needs to have some fire on it. Your testimony needs to have some reality to about it. I'm not talking about when you got to stand up and testify and jump pews and all that. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about there should be a reality of what you're saying in your heart and in your life. It ought to be big to you, because if it's not big to you, don't expect it to get big to those that's listening. Amen. 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 Ain't no telling what, praise God, no telling what's getting ready to happen. Oh, yeah.
The scripture says that we should come boldly to the throne of grace. It doesn't
No.
They went boldly to Jesus. They got him there.
Amen.
There was a need, and they knew the need
could
be met.
Amen. And you know the Bible don't say nothing about it, but who do you think repaired that roof? I don't think God would lead these men to tear the roof off and then just leave it for the owner to have to fix. I believe them men that tore it up and let the man down through the, because he thought, hey, boys, we might as well fix this hole because he's not coming back up through this hole. He's going out the door, amen. He's walking out the door. He won't need this hole. This hole's useless. Let's fix it. And I'd say they fixed it. I don't know how that, all that was involved in that. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Anybody else? Maybe the Lord. This is what you call meditation. Thinking on it, meditating on it, looking for spiritual sides, looking for spiritual thoughts, spiritual things through it. That's what I do when I'm studying to preach. Meditate. Ask God to give you some things and see things in that passage that's got some practical points to it. That's what makes that Bible come alive, buddy, when you start looking at it and drawing from it practical truths. Amen. Someone else, real quick. I wasn't aiming for the service to go this direction, not the way it's went, but that's all right. Amen. Nobody's thought about the storm either, have you? That's right. Praise God, that's right. Amen. But anyway. All right. I tell you what I want us to do. Of course, we got this family that we're definitely going to focus in on. And Bob Moffitt. They sit back in there somewhere around that window, I think.